Okay, hey. Welcome back, everybody. Morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, Steve Cochran at 6. And it is Wild Card Wednesday night. Get your requests in right now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll get to those later on. Coming up a little bit later on, Stacey Nelson is going to join us, and she's going to tell us how you can decorate and throw some great Halloween parties without spending $1 billion. And we've got more coming up as well. We're also going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees that are eligible for induction. All that and more. Again, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow and follow us on Twitter at NickDShow. All right. Welcoming back to the show as part of our Halloween celebration. We're doing some Halloween stuff each morning leading all the way up to our Spooktacular and Halloween. This is a great guest. Magician David Parr, who is hosting his annual Haunting History Tour, which takes a sophisticated look at the supernatural, and it is a 13 and over show. You got to be 13 or over to get in. It features an interactive tour of the historic Dawes House in Evanston. It takes place October 28th through the 31st at the Evanston History Center. There are three tours each night at 7, 8, and 9. You can check out David Parr with two R's, davidparr.com, for more information. And here to talk about that and magic and the Magic Cabaret and more is David Parr. David, how are you?
I'm great, Nick. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And we are going to do a little radio magic.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Later on,
all right.
We're going to do a strange little seance. And all the listeners can play along.
Okay.
If you want to play along, all you'll need are three pieces of paper that about are the same size and shape. Business cards that are identical and have a blank back are perfect for this, but index cards will work too. Or if you take three Post-its and fold them in half so the glue, the sticky stuff, is on the inside, you'll have a nice double thickness little rectangle of paper, and that'll work.
Okay.
And you'll need a pen or pencil to write with.
So three cards that are around the same size, but they gotta be kind of thick, like a business card, and with nothing on the back would be good. Three of those that are the same size, about the same size, and a pen or pencil to write on, and you can participate. So you can get that stuff going. We're going to do the interactive magic trick a little bit later on. And I'm all set.
Cool.
I got three little pieces of cardboard here in front of me and a pen, so I'm ready to go. All right, let's get into your background, David. How did you get into magic?
I received a magic set as a gift when I was 7 years old. And after I learned all the tricks that were in that little box, I had to know more. I was so hooked. So I started taking up books from the library, books about magic. And once I had gone through the library's entire collection of books on the subject of magic, I had to know more. So we discovered that there was a magic shop about 20 miles away from where I grew up in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I begged my parents to take me there. And so trips to the magic shop became a regular event with a capital E.
Yeah.
I mean, a major event where I'd save up my money and for months, and then I'd buy something cool at the magic shop.
And did you have any magicians that influenced you? Anybody that you loved when you were a kid?
Oh, of course, Doug Henning was big back then.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, his television specials were a huge influence on me. And mainly because what I realized later was that somehow he managed to connect with his audience through a television screen.
Mm-hmm.
and come across as a completely sincere, if kind of kooky guy.
Right.
Who genuinely believed in magic.
Yeah.
And he somehow conveyed that across a television screen so that you, as a viewer, you felt like he was talking to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not an easy thing to do, to create that kind of connection over a distance. And he did it, and did it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, I realized, oh, that's the big lesson I learned from Doug Henning.
When you devoured magic, you would go to the magic shop. And now, when did you start to perform?
I started performing when I was probably pre-teens.
Mm-hmm.
My dad worked for the library system here in Milwaukee, and so I started doing magic shows as the summer programs at various libraries around the city. And that's how I learned. I think in any performing art, you learn by doing.
Yes,
right?
true.
And so that was my time to just get out there in front of an audience and, make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah.
And, back then I would get so nervous, like for the first 5 minutes or so of my little magic show, my hands would shake. And so my approach to getting past that was to like always open with something that I knew was absolutely surefire, that I could not mess up. And that way I would get through that and have enough time to calm down so that my hands would stop shaking for the rest of the performance.
Right. Yeah. But then once you got used to it, it became fun, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have kept doing it if it had just been terrifying.
Right.
I mean, it was,
true.
Of course, terrifying at first.
Yeah.
But there's also that intense gratification of getting a response from an audience. I mean, the first time you hear an audience gasp
yeah.
at something you've done, and mind you, you're in the position of being like 11 or 12 years old, and there are grown-ups reacting with complete surprise and wonder at something you just did.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of power in that
yeah.
for a kid, right? Because the grown-ups don't know how you did it.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think that was a part of the appeal of magic to me when I was a kid. It was something that you studied in secret, right?
Right.
And it was a power, it gave you a power that grown-ups didn't have.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a very empowering thing, yeah. Let's talk about the Dawes House. You've been doing this. How many years have you been doing this?
I did a run many years ago there, and then there was a long break, but this will be our third year in a row.
That's great.
This year.
Well, tell us about the Dawes House and its history.
The Dawes House was the home of Charles Gates Dawes, who was vice president under Coolidge. And he willed his house to the Evanston Historical Society. So they turned it into a museum. And so you can tour through the house. It's open for tours part of the week. And it's a gorgeous chateau-esque terracotta edifice on the lakefront. And it's the atmosphere is something you cannot manufacture.
Yeah.
And that's part of what makes it so fun to do this show there, because there are nights where the show is happening and you can hear the waves crashing just outside.
That's awesome.
And I'm not making up any of that atmosphere. It's all just built in.
Yeah. And the idea is that you give a tour of the house and some unexplained things happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird little magic show that moves from room to room of the house. So the audience travels with me, and in each room we talk about some weird or macabre fact from the past, some bit of folklore or history, and something strange happens, and we move to the next room, and it all ends up in the center of the house with a seance.
That's great. Now, do you get people freaking out when some of the tricks happen and you make something move or something creepy happens in the room? Do people freak out?
Oh yeah, yeah. Last year during the seance at the end, a young woman who was seated next to me at the table stood up and tried to run away. And I stopped her. I stopped her. And I said, no, don't. There's all kinds of things in here you could fall over.
Right.
We're in a museum, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, just stay put and I will go get the light.
Yeah.
So I persuaded her to sit down. And I went and turned the lights on, and she was okay after that. But she almost bolted.
But that's a successful night.
Oh, totally.
If you want somebody, yeah. if you got somebody screaming and wanting to get the hell out of there, that's a successful tour right there.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was great. She had a lot of fun.
And you're doing it. And how long do the tours last?
It's about an hour.
Okay.
And we're doing shows at 7, 8, and 9.
789. It's October. It's the weekend of Halloween, October 28th through the 31st at the Evanston History Center. And you get to, first of all, you're going, not only are you seeing a really cool show and experiencing some supernatural fun magic, but you're also in a historic building, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place just to walk through, even without the creepiness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, many people who come to see the show comment afterward, I have to come back here during the day so I can see the rest of the
right,
house.
Right, right. So
the
I'm not.
Itself, it's really cool.
So I'm not freaking out trying to leave.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, this is so great, man. It's the Evanston History Center. It's at 2225 Greenwood Street. Now, it's 13 and over. We want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's October 28th through the 31st, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., and 9 p.m. each night. And it's the Haunting History Tour. You'll learn something, and you'll freak out. And it's an interactive, magic, creepy, supernatural magic show that David is your host for.
Yes, so that's
and
great. Info and tickets can be found on my website, which is davidparr.com.
Davidparr.com with two R's. We have a link on our Facebook page with all of it there. So all of our fans, check it out at facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, David, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
And again, once again, if people, you guys listening at home, you want to participate in a seance, a magic seance here, right over the radio, get three pieces of heavy paper that are pretty identical in the same shapes. Three identical business cards would work if they're blank on the back, or three by five index cards if you have that. You need a pen or a pencil to write on the cards, and you can participate in it right after this. All right, welcome back. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Coming up after 3 o'clock, Stacey Nelson is going to join us. She's an award-winning designer, and she's going to give us tips on how to have an affordable Halloween with parties and decorating, all that cool stuff. That's coming up. And along those same lines, right now, a Halloween-themed guest right here. He is going to be hosting his annual Haunting History Tour, which is a 13 and over. You got to be 13 or over to go on it. It's an interactive tour of the historic Dawes House in Evanston, October 28th through the 31st. And let's talk a little bit about that. David, welcome back, sir.
Good to be here, Nick.
All right. Are we ready to do this little piece of interactive radio magic, David?
Yes,
okay.
We are.
All right.
Take those three cards that you have and place them blank side up on the table.
In front of me, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, on one of the cards, write the first name of a friend. Now, this is important. It has to be someone who is still living.
Okay.
The first name.
On any of the three cards?
Right.
Okay.
And on another card, write the first name of a different friend who is also still living.
Okay.
And on the last card, write the name of a famous person who is dead. Now, this works best if you choose someone who died a long time ago. So maybe a favorite author musician, or maybe an old-timey actor.
Okay,
just write that person's first name.
Oh, just their first name?
Just the first name.
Okay. Okay, done. Everybody play along at home, okay? All right.
Okay. When you're finished, you can put the pen off to the side. We're not going to need it anymore.
All right.
Now, pick up one of the cards with a living name on it and turn it over so the name side is down and place it on the palm of your other hand.
Turn it over, faces down, place it on the palm of my hand face down.
Yep.
Okay, it is now on the palm of my hand face down.
Great. Now pick up the other card with a living name on it.
Okay.
Turn it over so the name side's down.
Okay.
And place it on top of the card that's already on your palm.
Place it on top of the card. Okay, face down. On top of the card that's already in the palm of my hand. Okay, got it.
Yep. And finally, pick up the card with the dead name on it.
Okay.
Turn it over so the name side's down.
Okay.
And place it on top of the other two cards.
Okay, it's done. It's in my hand. All three cards are there. Okay.
Okay, so now pick up that little pile of cards. We're going to mix them using the dead name that you chose. Okay, so here, spell the dead name and transfer one card from the top of the pile to the bottom for each letter.
Okay.
For example, I chose the name Edgar for Edgar Allan Poe, so I transfer one card from the top to the bottom of the pile for E, and then another card for D, and then another card from top to bottom for G, and so on until I finish spelling the name I chose.
Okay.
Now, I don't know the name you chose, so just silently do that. Go ahead.
Okay. I did.
Okay, now we're going to do it again. Okay, so spell that dead name, transferring one card from the top of the pile to the bottom for each letter.
Okay.
Until you finish spelling that name.
Okay, done it.
Okay, now the name we're focusing on here is the dead name.
All right.
So we're going to spell the word dead, transferring one card from the top of the pile to the bottom for each letter.
Okay.
So D-E-A-D.
Okay.
Okay, now one final time, spell the dead name that you chose, transferring one card from the top of the pile to the bottom for each letter.
Okay. Okay, did it.
Okay. Now, at this point, there's no way for me to know what order those names are in because I don't know what names you chose.
It's true, yes.
And you've been using the dead name that you chose and that I don't know.
Right.
But we're going to try an experiment, a kind of a seance.
Okay.
So take the top card of that pile
okay.
and place it name side down on the table and place your free hand on top of it.
All right. I placed it down on the table. Now I put my free hand on top of it. Okay.
Yep. Now concentrate.
Okay.
Huh. That card feels warm. It feels warm. So don't turn it over. Just push it off to the side.
Push it off to the side. Okay.
Okay. Take the next card off the pile
mm-hmm.
and place it name side down on the table.
Okay.
And place your free hand on top of that card.
Putting it on top of, okay, I now have it on top of the hand on top of the card.
That one feels warm too. Push it off to the side.
Okay.
Place the last card on the table. Place your hand on top of it.
Okay, I've placed the last card on the table. My hand is now on top of it.
Ooh, that feels cold.
Oh.
That is the dead name. Turn it over and you'll see.
It is. Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
That was awesome. That was really, and I hope everybody played along at home. Yes, that's the dead person's name.
Yay.
Yeah, no, you did it. And you want to know something really weird, David?
Why?
I chose Edgar Allan Poe as well.
What?
So I freaked out when you said Edgar Allan Poe. I freaked out because he's my favorite writer, and I chose Edgar Allan Poe, and that's the one that popped up in front of me. Oh, that was awesome, David. That was so cool.
We are simpatico.
Yes, we are. That was so cool. I hope everybody played along. And you know what? We got a podcast going too, so you don't have, if you're not playing along live, listen to the podcast. Stop it for a second. Get those three cards and participate because it's so much fun. Before we let you go, the haunting history obviously is happening. It's a magical Halloween treat for grownups. 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, and you can check out davidparr.com. It's going to be so much fun. Historical haunted house and all kinds of cool stuff will happen. Very quickly, are you still doing the Magic Cabaret on Wednesday nights?
Absolutely. Okay. Every Wednesday night at the Greenhouse Theater Center on Lincoln Avenue. And the show is now in its 9th year. Next year, we will start our 10th year.
That's great. Okay. And that information is also at davidparr.com.
Yeah, there's a link to the Magic Cabaret on my website.
All right, cool.
Or you can just go to magiccabaret.com.
Okay.
That's the website
great.
For the show.
Listen, have a great weekend on Halloween weekend, and I hope tons of people come out for the Haunting History Tour, interactive magic show, really fun Halloween stuff. And
you have fun too, Nick.
Okay.
It's always great to chat
Thanks,
with you
David. And that trick was fantastic. It was really cool. And again,
thanks muchly.
And again, it was weird that we both chose Edgar Allan Poe.
I know. Ooh.
Exactly. All right. Happy Halloween, David. Take care.
Same to you, Nick.
Okay, take care, buddy. All right, there you go, David Parr. That was weird. All right. Anyway, Haunting History Tour, very cool stuff. You're going through a historical house. It might be haunted, and all kinds of cool, crazy, supernatural tricks are happening all around you. Get all the information on our Facebook page or at David Parr, 2 hours, davidparr.com. All right, that was cool. We got to take a break here for the news, and then Stacey Nelson is going to join us for more Halloween tips.
Why, even Dracula will be there.
It's time for games, it's time for fun. Not for just one, but for everyone. The Dracula.
Card Wednesday.
Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday.
Flyjam Bob requested the legendary Shags with It's Halloween and thinks we should add it to our song list over the next couple of weeks. I have the entire Shags, the Shags' greatest hits. Incredible story. Three sisters and their dad insisted that they play music. And so they did. And that's an example of it. Are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Are the Shags in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG. And how are you? Yeah, we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with opening bell at 5. And my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6. So, you know, I forgot to ask you guys about did you participated, Vic and Esmeralda?
I did, yes.
And Dan, did you participate in the trick?
I did, yes.
Okay. And let me read a couple of texts from people who were participating while they were at home listening. Jay in Ohio says, Nick, I chose Orson Welles. It worked. Great magic trick. Okay, so it worked for Jay in Ohio. And a simple text from the 815 area code that said, I'm freaking out right now. So evidently it worked. Dan, did it work for you?
It did work for me. I wish I chose a shorter name, but
because you had to count the times you, yeah. What name would you?
I went with William Shakespeare.
You went with William. So
I went with William.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story about how he screwed his wife out of the will?
Who?
That William Shakespeare.
No.
It came out today. Like they found his will, and basically he left all the money to everybody but his wife.
Oh,
apparently.
Oh man,
Willie.
Wow, did he write Taming of the Shrew because of her? Is that
maybe.
Okay.
Cold-hearted.
He's a cold-hearted snake. Where the hell did that come from? Wow.
He's been telling lies.
Yeah. That's Paula Abdul, right?
Yes.
I wish Keanu Reeves was in that video, too. He's only in Rush It, right?
Drop the it, but yes.
Okay.
Hush.
Now, Vic, explain your little magic trick experience.
The name I wrote down for the friend, the first name, was Turtle, because he's a friend of mine. He's a bodybuilder, and his head's a little small for his body. His real name is Edgar.
I don't,
which is bizarre.
This is just freaking me out because, you know, we were talking about it, and we did it on the air, and he said Edgar, and I picked Edgar Allan Poe without even, you know, thinking. So we had Edgar, and then you picked an Edgar.
I wrote down Turtle, and it didn't hit me until a few minutes later, but his actual name is Turtle. And it's
no,
not
his actual name is Edgar.
I mean Edgar, and it's not bizarre that his name's Edgar, but it's weird. It's strange. That.
Now, who did you pick as your dead guy?
John. I wrote down John.
John Wayne?
And that was my second friend's name, too, which complicated matters.
So you had
matters.
Two Johns.
Yeah, John is my second friend, and then John Wayne.
Yeah.
So
you said you didn't want one of these, but...
I deserve that. It just went downhill.
But it worked.
Yeah, I did.
All right, Esmeralda, what about you?
It completely worked.
Yeah, and you chose as your dead guy?
Charlie Chaplin.
You chose Charlie Chaplin, and it worked.
Well, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean Charlie, right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, and the 815 area code, the person was freaking out.